Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
There are two of you on, or just you?
I'm not sure. I did hear a beep, but no one identified themselves.
Let's wait another minute or two, and then we'll...
Okay.
Okay, Hana, do you want to ask the question, or do you want me to?
Well, I have another question that I think it'll be a quick one, so let me ask that one first.
Okay.
In regards to our class that we had on the RE, on the calendar, I think it was Monday's class, and the association was given us to the body part, the Sephirah, and the letter that was associated with it. And I just wondered, was that particular letter the one that created the body part? Is that the letter Hashem used? You know, like Hod was associated with Kaf, and Gemel with the ears, and Bina, you know. And then I remembered how when we studied the temple, whenever directions were given, if it said 5 by 5 cubits or whatever, the 5 actually represented the letter He. And so I wondered if the same thing could apply to the body parts.
I've not ever read or heard that the letter creates the body part. It might relate to, and it probably does relate to the Sephirah, or to the channel in the Tree of Life between the two Sephirot. But there are a lot of disagreements and machlokets from various sages over the centuries as to what letter goes with which channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that is more accurate than to think of it in terms of creating the body part.
Okay.
Because the body part is a physical thing. Now, there is a soul part associated with it, but there's an even higher level, which is the consciousness of that body part. And the Sefer Yetzirah is not dealing with that level. It's dealing with the lower level of Zeran Pin.
Okay.
If that makes any sense to you.
Well, it does and it doesn't. It's still a question mark, but I can understand, you know, associated with the Sethi Ra. So,
okay.
I know we have a body part that we emphasize every month that goes with the month, you know.
Right.
So, okay.
And what we've been taught is that the letter created the month, and it also created the constellation that's associated with it. But I've not heard that it relates to the body part as well.
Okay. Well, it was when I drew my little figure, you know, of a face and labeled the skull as Keter, and I labeled the two eyes, Netzach and Hod, and the two ears and the nose and the mouth. And then I matched each Sethi Ra and each letter and to each part. And that's what, then I thought about the temple study that we had that time. And so that was why the question came up.
Well, you're raising a question that a lot of people will misunderstand, because if we look at the Tikkun HaNefesh chart, the eyes, well, it's not really in the Tikkun HaNefesh, but it is. The eyes connect to the Sethi Ra of Chachma, the ears to Bina, the nose to Zeranpin, and the mouth to Malchut. So now we're going in and saying that it's Netzach et Hod, but it's really Netzach et Hod of Chachma.
Oh, okay. Okay. And the eyes were also associated with Tevet and Shabbat. So,
you broke up. I didn't hear what you said.
I said the eyes also were associated with Tevet, or Tevet and Shabbat.
Yes.
You know, and because it was this month. There were the eyes again, so that's, you know. And, of course, that was that one commentary. So, and I do think it even stated, or you stated, that there were McLockets on the beliefs of those different body parts and letters, too, I think, on when we were on the handout. So,
I don't know if you remember, but it's been a few years, but I was giving classes in meditation. And what I was recommending is that within your meditation, you invite the Sethi Ra into your meditation and ask them and speak to them directly and listen for their responses. And this is the question you're asking, I would recommend that you do that.
Okay. Well, at the time I did, I never got an answer. I never got an answer when that was suggested, but I felt like either I wasn't at the level to receive it or I wasn't worthy enough to receive the answer. So, and then, like you say, sometimes you get the answer and you don't really understand you got it.
Right. True. So try it again.
Okay.
No. People change their elevation, their spiritual levels change. So if you didn't hear the answer in that, then it's been, 4 or 5 years? So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the other, I sent it to you by an attachment because it was a paragraph that you had included in your weekly commentary on the case. And I had set aside the things about McCates, because that was the week that our grandbaby was born, and I wanted to make a little notebook with the letters of his name and his birth date and all, because he was born during Hanukkah. And I had printed this from it. Do you want me to read it, or would you read it?
Oh, it's up to you. I can read it. I have it in front of me.
Okay, I'll let you read it.
Okay. This is from an email which was Miketz in 5778. We're currently in 5779. So, a major secret is revealed in Parashah Miketz by the Kabbalah. It is in chapter 43, verse 11. In this verse, Jacob tells his sons to bring certain luxuries to the viceroy of Egypt. At this time, Jacob is disconnected from, I'm paraphrasing again, but it's not
okay.
Written in that. But at this time, Jacob is disconnected from the Shekhinah due to his not realizing that Jacob is still alive. He thinks Joseph is dead, God forbid. And so his disconnection is he doesn't know that the viceroy of Egypt is Joseph. But that's on the physical level. On higher levels, he is still connected. So in this, he is telling his sons to bring these six luxuries to the viceroy of Egypt. These six luxuries are balsam, honey, wax, lotus, pistachios, and almonds. And these words in the Torah do not make sense. We know that the Torah is not about the stories, but the stories serve a purpose of revealing various pieces of wisdom. In this case, the first letters of these Hebrew words of these luxuries are Sadi, Dalid, Nun, Lamed, Bet, Shin. The Kabbalah explains that these six letters are a protection shield against Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the king of limitations, the king of Egypt. When I look at these letters, I translate them as follows. The Sadiq judges the passion of the hearts.
Now, I didn't understand why you did that.
I'm sorry?
I said I did understand why you translated it as that, because the Sadi would be the Sadiq.
Right.
Aleph and Nun would be judge, and Lev would be, the Lamed and Bet would be heart, and the Shin would be passion. So I could understand that. Okay.
Okay, and then if you want greater explanation regarding this protection shield, send an email to Yeshem and I would answer it. Well, it's not an email, but it's part of our questions and answers. But I'm not sure what additional explanation you want.
Well, you're hinting that there's more, and I wondered if you were hinting that use these letters to use the Shaliv method and put our names within those letters. Another reason, I've always been fascinated with foods in the Torah, you know, and so much that over about a 20-year period, I came up with recipes that fit with each one of the Torah portions. And then I met a rabbi, Gil Marks, a blessed memory. He passed away maybe a couple years ago. And he had a volume, and he would have a weekly commentary on each Torah portion and had just fascinating things about the foods. And in one that I particularly remembered was when, and I think it fits with this, that here Jacob is sending food luxuries by his son to Egypt, not knowing that it's the vice, that he's the viceroy. But when he does learn that Joseph is alive and Joseph sends for him, Joseph sent him fava beans. So here's this exchange of foods. Now, according to Rabbi Gil Marks, he sent the fava foods, the fava beans, rather, because they were supposed to be a food that would relax you. And I thought, so it, I remember when I first married Tony, Italians ate fava beans. They were these, they looked like big lima beans, but they were dark brown. The shell was very, very thick. And his mother had one in a little coin purse. And she showed it to me one time. Now, I can't remember what about it, why she had that, if someone gave it to her when she got married or what. I don't remember. But I couldn't find fava beans locally in any grocery store. And they were very expensive online. Something like, if you got them by the cans, they were like $6 a can. But when I went to Austin to visit a grandson at that time, that's where he lived, they had them at Whole Foods. But here was this exchange of, and I can understand why they would send products of the area, because that was, I can see why they call them luxuries. And it would also be foods that you'd want to, you know, to bestow on somebody. But I think there's a link there with this exchange of foods, and that's why this interested me, and I thought I should ask about it.
Okay. First off, the fava beans being a tool of relaxation is appropriate for Joseph to send to Jacob, because the shock of learning that he's alive, he needs to be relaxed so it, the shock is not an impairment on his health.
Mm-hmm.
And the
okay.
Later, I
found dried ones. Again, it was not local, and they took hours. Well, for one thing, you had to soak them, and you had to pick the shells off individually. And it took a long time for them to cook. And I'm thinking, how could they do that with traveling?
Well, they weren't traveling.
Well, he had to go from Israel
from a city in Egypt to Beersheba, where Jacob lived. They traveled with the beans, but they weren't cooking the beans then. They would wait until they got to the Beersheba, and then typically, I don't want to get into this issue of male and female, but Jacob didn't cook the beans.
Okay.
His wife would have, and however long it took, that's how long it would take. The cooking of foods have been the same for generations. The only difference is, you know, there is some technology to like microwaves or the various different, you know, special ovens today that speed up the process. But that's having to do with this generation and this century and the process of we need to speed up how we interact with the energy, the spiritual energy that's around us. That's the reason that an airplane was revealed in the 1900s because people needed to travel thousands of miles across oceans in hours rather than months in order to make it available that they would go to those countries and interact with people in those countries, because the souls of those people, they have a tikkun with. And that whole process of the 1900s has been speeding up, and it's even more so in the 2000s. But all of that, but it's not that Joseph had cooked the beans. He sent raw beans. And so when Jacob received them, he would have known that this is something to relax me. So he would understand obviously I'm guessing and projecting, and you can think it through on your own whether that's valid or whether the bean paste would have been prepared in Egypt and then traveled for 2 or 3 weeks, but would it have spoiled in 2 or 3 weeks? I doubt if the bean paste would have spoiled that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just different approaches from that perspective.
Okay.
Now, you also said that what Jacob was giving to the viceroy of Egypt were these 6 items, but I only see 3 that are food. The other 3 are not, unless I'm mistaken. I don't think balsam is a food. Honey is a food. And wax might have been beeswax, but I don't think so. Lotus, I don't see as a food. It's a flower, as far as I know. Pistachios mm-hmm. is a food, and almonds is a food. So you have 3 foods and 3 alternative items of luxury that are just hard to get, hard to find, or that are expensive in the normal commerce of the day. That's what makes them luxuries.
Okay, but I don't understand how these 6 letters are a protection shield.
Do you understand how the Shema Yisrael is a protection shield?
Oh, yes.
Okay, what's the difference? Shema Yisrael is a protection shield because you're connecting to the unity of Hashem. This is a protection shield. If you take my interpretation of it, the protection shield, the light that a tzaddik reveals, and this idea of the passion of the hearts being connected to the tzaddik, you find it's a whole description of balance. Whereas the idea of Egypt and Mitzrayim and the limitations implies that you're out of balance. So the protection shield comes from these 6 letters connecting to a level of consciousness that creates balance. And the question that you ask should, can you do a intertwining of the letters? The answer is yes. Anytime you find a protection shield by inserting your name within it, intertwining your name within the letters of the name of that protection shield, what you're doing is bringing that protection shield into your soul. That's what the intertwining actually does.
Okay, the tzaddik. Is the tzaddik referring to the tzaddikim?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
And in the final judgments that people experience after they leave this world, And even in the nightly bet dins, the people sitting there are tzaddikim. So that's one of the work that the tzaddikim do. Just as we are taught that the tzaddikim from the previous 900 plus 974 generations that preceded Adam, the tzaddikim from those generations are the inner souls of the planets and the stars in our generation, in our physical universe. So when you're talking about a tzaddik as a judge, you're talking about a bet din where the strength of your passion within your heart, the emotions of the tree of life of Zeran Pin, has to be in balance. And that's what the protection shield creates.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this is an important thing, Dan.
it's a very important thing. And your grandson, as he grows, needs to be exposed to the information, as it will help him shorten his process of tikkun.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that's all I had to ask tonight.
What I just said about your grandson, because he was born in the Parashah of Meketz, the information that's there in Meketz is helping him to understand his tikkun, because a major part of our work is to find out why we were brought into the world.
Well, see, this is a great-grandson, and they live in New Orleans, and I'm 80.
It's true. You're a human being, Hannah. It's not just because he's your grandson or great-grandson or 17 generations. Every human being needs to discover why they were brought into the world. Now, we live in a society that doesn't support that learning.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I wanted to put a little booklet together, you know, of what I knew about his birth portion and, you know, what was his Torah portion, what's the Haftorah portion, what's his Jewish birthday, you know, and then take each letter for his name. And then I was going to put a copy of your commentary and with the notation that this is what your great-grandmother was studying the week that you were born, you know, and hopes that someone, you know, somewhere in time that it would mean something to him.
And you know, that's the energy, and I'm sure it will come to mean something to him as he grows. And mm-hmm. It will be, you know, the other question I would ask is just, did his mother do the conversion or not?
No.
Okay, so.
But every time, they don't come very often, but when they come, like when she saw my Shabbat candle, the first time she came in, it's interesting, it was Hanukkah. So I told her I was able to, give her her first Hanukkah gift. And, which included gelt and the dreidel and all. Then another time she came, she asked me about the candles. She asked me if we ate our meals by candlelight. And it was Tony who answered her. I was on the other side of the room when she asked the question. So I'm just hoping that, you know, in time that they'll see. The grandson's not Jewish either, but he lived with us for 4 years, and he got exposed to a lot. And anytime he goes to a city, he always tells me where the kosher restaurants are. And like they went up to New York, and he called from a Jewish bookstore, a Jewish store, and asked if we needed anything. And I said yes, that his papa needed a new Kiddush cup. And then they brought a Kiddush cup back to us. And then a little bit later, she works for one of the museums in New Orleans, and there was some gift of a Kiddush cup that was given to the museum, and she catalogs and I'm not sure exactly what, but photographs these things, she sent me this big article on this Kiddush cup that was given to the city, more or less, I guess, and was put into the museum. This was maybe 2 years ago. So I see the interest, and that's about all we can do. You know, when our children are already grown from home, they were gone from home when we converted. And so they really, you know, they don't, well, one, our daughter converted and her husband, but so far that's the only one out of the three
children. It's everybody has their own process, so you'll see, and I'm sure your great-grandson will appreciate the booklet. And I would also, in today's world, I would include a DVD with that, with this class on it, so he can go, you can hear the explanation directly.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody else have any questions? Then I will bid shalom to you all. Tomorrow, the Psalms study, I may have to cut it short. We'll see how long it takes for Psalm 49, so because I have an appointment where I have to leave right at 11. So we'll see what happens, and we'll play it by ear.
Okay.
I hope you all have a beautiful evening, and shalom gadol.
Okay, shalom gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.